Odom, 30 feet away, jumper in the air. He's got it! Lamar Odom has won it for Rhode Island!
In traffic, off-balance shot.
Thank you! Jared Terrell at Rhode Island has done it in the final 5 seconds on a circus shot from Jared Terrell. A career-high night for him and a victory for Rhode Island.
Broken up, Dutton. Run out, Rowdy, look out!
Oh, steal by Vance Russell off of Young.
Three.
Don't do it to him like that, Vance.
Dribbles into the forecourt. Iverson going up. He guts it home as the buzzer sounds. And Rhodey, the 8-10 champs.
All right, Rhodey Baseline fans. It is now time for another episode of Rhodey Baseline. My name's Gary. Joined, as always, by my co-host, Andrew, after a very long weekend at Mohegan Sun. We are back for another episode of Rhodey Baseline, right, Andrew?
Yeah, and it's going to be a special one as we get ready to kick off the holiday season here in Rhodey Nation. We are going to talk about what went down at Mohegan Sun, the positives, the negatives. We'll talk about the week that was in URI women's basketball. And we also have special guests with us later on this episode, Emma Squires, former Rhodey player turned GA assistant with the Rhodey women's basketball team. But we got a lot to dive into. I think the first thing we need to dive into, Gary, is Mohegan Sun. We talked with Will last week about Mohegan Sun, and we didn't expect to win games. URI didn't expect to win. They didn't win games. I don't think people expected them to be as much of a blowout as they were, but I think the Washington State game definitely went better than the Northwestern game. I think the Northwestern game was a competitive game outside that first 10 minutes of the game where Rhodey went down 22-2. But there was definitely some pros and cons that came out of the weekend. I think your biggest con was the rebounding trouble and the book on how to beat URI came out. And me saying that is, if you pack the paint against URI and force them to shoot the three, you're going to beat URI every time because they just don't have the knockdown shooters yet.
Yep.
My pro is, boy, oh boy, is Cam Estevez going to be a damn good basketball player over these next 4 years. And I hope and pray that he stays in Kingston for those 4 years. I said this to you numerous times over the weekend, Gary. Cam Estevez is giving me Scoochie Smith, Jeff Doughton, Jarvis Garrett vibes. He's a freshman down there on the court leading the defense, clapping and getting crazy. He does not look afraid to be driving the basket. In my opinion, this weekend was the Cam Estevez coming out party. And I think it's going to be good for him to be in the rotation with all these older guys this year.
Now, what I'll ask you, Andrew, is it crazy to see a freshman taking the initiative here? Right. In the end, I've never, and we talked about this multiple times over the weekend, about how great he was, whether it was the three, whether it was getting back on defense, trying to keep his teammates in when the times were tough.
He hit three threes in a row against Northwestern, I think, to bring him back into the game.
Yeah.
Like, as a freshman, that baby face, he's the baby face assassin, like, in my opinion. I think Cam Estevez, and I think you kind of started to see it against Washington State. I leaned over to you. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think he's starting to pass Always Right on the depth chart.
Yeah.
Now, Always Right had some spots, but Cam Estevez is going to be the future of this team. And at some point, you got to give him his minutes. And I think Archie started doing that when he was playing well. And in those tournament settings, your bench is going to be deeper because you're playing back-to-back days. And I think that helped Cam get his ground under him because he was playing more minutes than he did in the previous games.
Yeah, definitely. I think another shining star that we should talk about also made the all-tournament team for the Hall of Fame tip-off tournament. Had to be Zeke Montgomery out there for URI.
Oh, absolutely. He carried us to come back in both those games. And a shout-out to the URI fan base for coming down there. It was definitely a pro-URI crowd, so good job on that. But Zeke Montgomery, another one. Drive to the basket. He was finishing. He was offensive rebounding. He's won. In the presser today that Bill Koch talked about, was their focus this week was rebounding. Rebounding, rebounding, rebounding. I mean, will URI see another team the size of Northwestern and Washington State this year? Probably not. They held their own against Washington State, but they were badly out-rebounded and out-physicaled by Northwestern. Will they see another team outside of Providence and maybe the College of Charleston and in the A-10, maybe Dayton, that is that big and strong? I highly doubt it. Outside of the 10 minutes against Northwestern, I think they played as well as anybody could expect. If they didn't go down 22-2, could hit their free throws, you're right there at the end of the game against Northwestern. Washington State, they just went cold, and the size of Washington took over and got the offensive rebounds. Like Archie said, they were just outweighed class, and that's going to come with time in the weight room and becoming a better team and getting more and more bigs. Like Fuchs looked like he was shocked with the size difference. That'll come with experience. Kid's still a freshman. Tyson Brown and Zeke Montgomery did a hell of a job on the boards. And Jeremy Famina played out of his mind. He was another one that looked great this past weekend. And now we got Josephat Bilal, who is getting ready to come back from injury. And Lord knows this whole David Green situation. I mean, there was a couple players that got a two-time transfer clearance out of Cincinnati this past week. So hopefully that means good news for David Green. If you get David Green to come back in, who knows what could happen. But I definitely think, obviously the scores didn't indicate it, but I think we're still on that positive upward trend when it comes to URI men's basketball this season.
Exactly. I mean, the one thing that I can say, Andrew, is we walked into Mohegan with positivity, right? Hoping that we were going to get at least one win out of there, and it just didn't happen. But in the end, we can't sit there and put our heads. This is still a young team, a new team, right? The first couple games, and again, a team that big as Northwestern, and then just going into the Washington State game, probably exhausted from trying to play your hardest against Northwestern.
And Washington State was just as big. Yep. I think everybody, if you would have talked to the serious URI fans, they would have said, realistically, we're going to go 0-2 this weekend. Would it be great to go 1-1? Yeah, there's not a shot in hell we're going to go 2-0. That's exactly what happened. They just didn't want to get blown out and look like they had taken a step back. Yes, they got blown out, but I think the Northwestern game was definitely a lot closer than the final score indicated, and the Washington State game was a lot more competitive than I think the final score indicated. And exactly. I think everybody can agree on that. There's definitely more positive than negatives coming out of that. You have a nice tune-up game against Johnson & Wales this week where we're not even going to talk about it because it's Johnson & Wales. They should put 100 on them. It's at 2 o'clock on a Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Throw up a hundo on them. Call it a day. Go eat some turkey and desserts at the coach's house. Have a blast. Come back Sunday. Take care of Yale. And then we have Brown next weekend. Wednesday night.
Yeah.
After Yale on Sunday, it's rivalry week.
Isn't it crazy to think that we have this game on Wednesday against Johnson & Wales, game against Yale on Sunday, and then it's rivalry week? Like, it's already going to be the beginning of December?
Week this year as opposed to past years where we have Brown and PC back-to-back. I think the Brown game, it's going to give you a taste of what's – albeit it's at the Ryan Center – but it will give you a taste of what's to come at the Dunk on next Saturday night. And quite frankly, if they play like they did in the first half of the second half against Northwestern, I'll say it right now, URI will go down to the Dunkin' Donuts Center and beat PC. I think URI has the way that they play, if they get off their schneid, in all the stuff that's going on with PC and their players getting into fights and all that stuff, but that's a conversation for next week. We're not going to worry about it. I'm just saying I can see a world where URI beats PC next week. But we can't overlook JWU, and we can't overlook Yale because Yale's a solid squad. But with that, I think we should shift focus to the women because they had a big week, and they got a big weekend coming up with their MTE.
Yeah.
And yeah, great. Give us a synopsis on that.
Yeah, so the women had a win at Brown, which was a very pro URI crowd, so shout out to the fans for traveling over to Brown for their game. They were able to pull out the win, but it wasn't easy. It was a little tough at some times. And then URI took a trip to NC State, all the way there to play 14th ranked NC State. And boy, oh boy, was this a game? URI had the lead for most of the game, unfortunately could not keep it at the end. NC State was able to pull out, I think it was a 14-2 run or 22-2 run or something like that at the end of the game to get the victory. But nothing that URI should not hold their heads over. They're a young team, and they gave NC State a run for their money.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And we talked about it a little in our interview with Emma Squires. There's not much moral victories, but if you can go down to North Carolina, play a team that just upset UConn, and we all know how good UConn women's basketball is. If they can play a team like UConn, beat a team like UConn, and then go to NC State and only lose by 5 or 6, when they were 24.5-point underdogs, had the lead at the half, was back and forth, I definitely think that that loss will benefit them more than in the long run than the win probably would have. Yes, exactly. The win would have been nice for a potential at-large bid scenario and all that stuff, but after the loss at Maine and the tight game against Brown, I think that was another positive sign, and which leads them into Vegas. They need to get those 2 wins in Vegas. I know we talked about it with Emma Squires. I think they're playing Youngstown State and Portland. Those are 2 very winnable games down there in Vegas. They also need to work on their team building. They still haven't been together a long time. Other than that, status quo. Just keep doing what they do. Run the ball, hit their shots, play defense, and they'll come back from Vegas 2-0, have a nice little break, and then they'll get ready for the next part of their non-conference schedules, and then we get to everybody's favorite time, which is conference play.
Yeah, exactly. Just so everybody knows, Youngstown State, who they're playing on Saturday, is a 2-2 record. They won at Xavier and lost won versus Xavier at home and lost against West Virginia. And then one against lost against Western Michigan and one against Slippery Rock. And then Portland.
And his school is called Slippery Rock.
Listen, I don't know. And then Portland women have a 3-1 record. They beat San Diego State, lost to Villanova, beat Seattle U, and also beat Warner Pacific. So 3-1 for Portland. But like Andrew said, those are 2 wins. You got to come out with those wins in this Las Vegas Holiday Classic. That's happening Friday and Saturday. I take back what I said. Friday, 5:30 start against Youngstown State. And then Saturday at 3:00 against Portland. 2 games that they need to win. And obviously we also talked about that during our interview with Emma Squires. Let's go to that interview now.
All right, Rhodey fans, we have a special guest with us as we are getting ready to celebrate Thanksgiving here in Rhodey Nation. We are joined today by graduate assistant and former Rhodey basketball player for the URI Women's and Richmond Spider and a local kid, too, from somewhere in Massachusetts.
Kingston, Mass.
Kingston. We are joined by Emma Squires today. Thank you so much for joining us, Emma. We really appreciate it, and it's great to see you sticking around with the program.
Of course. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Might as well just jump right into it. I think I can speak for everybody in Rhodey Nation and how happy and ecstatic we were when we saw the news in the summer that you weren't leaving Kingston just yet. Obviously, we wish it was still on the floor because you were such an amazing player. But to have you on the bench, what was that conversation with Tammy and how'd that all come about?
Yeah, I mean, once the season kind of came to a close, it was a very weird feeling being like, so I'm done with basketball, like that was it kind of thing. And I still kind of had like one more year in my master's. I'm getting my master's in fashion merchandising and I love it. So I was like, maybe I could stay here, get my master's and keep like giving back to the team and the Rhode Island community. That was something that was really important for me. And like the coaches have said it like, oh, like we wish like we had you for more than 1 year. So kind of made that happen. But it was honestly such an easy decision. Like I just wanted to be here like in any capacity to help out the girls and help out the team just because I love them so much. Like truly, like we really are a family. And I know like a lot of teams say that, but they don't actually mean it or kind of like act on it. But I truly do feel like we care about each other so much on and off the court. And it's just something that I wasn't ready to give up yet. And I also wasn't ready to pick up my life and move overseas to keep playing basketball. So this was kind of a nice transition, like out of being a player, but still being involved in that like basketball environment. And then also getting to potentially explore something that I might be interested in, which is like coaching. So it kind of all worked out really well.
Have you gotten the itch to make coaching a big thing like for your future?
A little bit. Yeah. I'm really kind of considering that just because I never really I never really thought about it too much like growing up, but then like being in this environment and like seeing how much of an impact like some really good coaches have had on me, I'm like, I wonder if I could do that for somebody else, you know, like that's kind of important to me. So it's definitely there. I know like by the end of this year, I'll kind of like come to a fork in the road where I gotta, you know, figure out what I'm doing with my life. So we'll see. But it's definitely on my radar. It's something I'm thinking about.
Welcome to the club, Emma. I'm 28 years old and I still don't know what I'm doing with my life.
It's okay.
Now, obviously, you know, turning into a coach this year, has it been a huge transition where, you know, you almost wish that you were out there on the court, or have you been able to kind of mesh with the girls and because a couple new faces this year and everything like that, like, have you been able to kind of mesh and kind of give your expertise as you were in their similar position last year?
Yeah, I think honestly, like, it was a very smooth transition because I already had that relationship with the coaches because I was a captain. So like I was in constant communication with them about the team and like in the culture. And like, that's also kind of what I'm doing now. Like I see myself as like a resource for the girls and kind of like a liaison between the girls and the coaches, kind of like how I was last year. And I know that they've appreciated that because I feel like they kind of see me still more as like their teammate than like their coach, which I don't blame them because like, you know, I guess I have that title, but I'm still like, you know, their friends.
And so, you don't have to run, which is even better.
Although I will say I am in there. I'm a full-time practice player. So the itch for like playing, like it's been satisfied because I'm out there every day. So I still got to be in shape. And I'm not going to lie, I've gotten yelled at a couple times by like Coach A. And I'm like, you can't do that anymore. I'm like, no. I was like, no, that was, I said, uh-uh. I was like, we're not doing this.
I can't. That's funny.
Oh, man.
He was like, well, why are you giving up that open three? I was like, seriously?
Boosting confidence. So now we could shift into the season, and it's been one whale of a start, I guess is what you could say. With the two blowouts against Fairfield Sacred Heart, and then I think what everybody is talking. I'm not big on moral losses, but I think after Sunday, with what you guys accomplished going down to NC State and giving them a game and almost pulling it out, what's the mood in the locker room after a game like that?
You know, we're frustrated, you know, because it's kind of like you were so close, but it's like at the same time, like we could have won that game, but just some mistakes down the road. And then just not being able to kind of finish a game just, and I think that speaks to like our just maturity level as a team. Cause like we're a young team, like it's a very different team than it was last year. So that's kind of when like the maturity level comes into play, like leadership. I think we're still like working through some of the kinks, like to be honest, but that happens with every team. So I think to come off of a tough loss, like an unexpected loss against Maine, and that kind of fueling us to go into a big game like NC State, but you know, we can't just show up for ranked teams or NC State. Like you got to show up and play with the same energy, intent, and effort as any team, any opponent. You have to respect all opponents equally. So I think that we feel good. Like, I feel like we've made progress. That was a game that we were like, we got better today. We made ourselves better. So going off of that, like, we feel confident, but at the same time, like, still a little bit humbled by some tough losses. So that's just kind of like how we see things going into the tournament.
And I think in the long scope of how that game went with NC State and the Maine loss and being able to rebound against Brown as well, I think that'll play dividends, the grind of the conference schedule.
Absolutely.
And hopefully a long run into March. And who knows, could see an NC State again in March.
So true.
But that leads us into talking about the think I saw a stat the other day. The country's leading blocker or top five blocker, Magasa. What can you just say about how she's grown in this offseason into this year after not playing the complete season last year?
Yeah, I'm so proud of her. I'm so proud of T. Like, she's put in the work, and, like, I know how it feels to be injured, to be out a whole season, to have to get surgery, XYZ. Like, I've been there in my career, and it's tough. It's more mentally tough than anything. And you've seen her kind of get back into the swing of it a little bit last year, but she's really starting to gain that confidence in herself. And you can see, like, the coaches instilling that confidence in her, like, hey, we're getting you the ball, you go score, you know? So she's just grown so much, and she's put in the work, and she's back to kind of, you know, or better than she was, like, when she was at Dayton. Like, playing against her, like, when she was at Dayton, it was like, oh my God, like, this girl's a problem. And she's back to being that. And it just, it helps some having someone that size at the rim, kind of being the eraser, getting to clean up some of our mistakes. But no, I'm so, she's really put in the work, and I'm very proud of her.
That's scary to see that she's back to being her Dayton self with the rest of what this team looks like. Just, yep. I'm just glad I'm not playing basketball anymore.
I go up against her, and she, like, blocks me in practice, and I'm like, you got it. You got it.
Now, obviously, a couple new freshmen also on the team this year. What can you say about the freshmen and how they are getting, you know, into the swing of things?
Yeah, I think they're a great addition to our team. I think that with any kind of freshman, they've got some, you know, transitioning in terms of, you know, like, just being at college and, like, navigating that, but then also navigating to the speed, the physicality of the game and everything. So I'm so proud of them too. Like, they're adapting really, really well. And I know that they're going to make some great strides within the next, like, year or two. And they're going to be really great. They're going to be really great.
So before we start talking about the MT and the rest of the season, I got to ask a question. What is it like for playing for Tammy as a player and now working aside her on the staff? Like, what are some like the differences that we all see Tammy, the coach, and on the floor and all that stuff?
Yeah.
What's it like behind the scenes, like, as a player and, like, a colleague, I guess?
That's a good question. It's definitely a little bit of a different relationship, but to be honest, like, she's very real with us. So it's like, what you see is what you get. So it's not like, oh, she's like a totally different person, like, as like a boss, I guess, versus like a coach. Like, she's still Tammy. I mean, sometimes I get to see more of her, like, frustrations, I guess, like, with the team and, like, conversations with the coaches. It's a little bit more intense because the biggest thing that I've noticed is, like, prepping with the coaches, like, for the games and helping with scout and all this stuff. Like, you see just how anxious, like, they are, like, and just stressed, because they want us to win so bad, and they're trying to do everything in their power that they can to prepare us adequately to win. And it's like, you know, as a coach, you can't tell your players, like, you're nervous or anything. So it's like, you know, like, you put on, like, a good face, but, like, yeah, it's almost like, like, humanizes them a little bit more. But, you know, like, I can definitely see the stresses of being a coach and what that means and all of that. So it's been good too, a different perspective to the game.
So now we'll move on to the real reason why you came back to Rhodey, and that was so you could go to Vegas this Thanksgiving.
I don't know if that's the reason, but, you know, it's a
great point. Perk to the job. What are you guys looking for, besides obviously winning the two games out in Vegas and hopefully bringing back a tournament win? What are you guys trying to hope out by getting a long trip out to Vegas, like, team building wise, chemistry wise, that will help you later in the season?
Yeah, I think, you know, like, with any of these, like, with anything, you got to work on your chemistry off the court so it can translate onto the court. So I know, like, last year, like, we went to, like, Disney, we were down in Florida for that tournament. That was so fun. And I just feel like we definitely grew closer as a team. And I have the same expectations for here. Like, it's fun, but then it's also, like, you know, it's work, but it's, like, it's good to get away and be able to, like, spend some time, like, with your teammates on the road, like, have roommates, that kind of stuff. But just overall, like, we're looking to get 1% better every day. That's what we just keep reiterating. Like, yeah, we want to win. We want to come back with a win. But at the end of the day, like, we just need to get better, keep moving forward, and keep making those strides. So by the time conference play comes around, like, we're ready to go.
Rhodey Nation, we want to thank Emma Squires for joining us today. Thank you so much joining us, Emma. Good luck the rest of the way. Have a safe trip to Vegas. And hopefully we can chat again at some point.
Sounds good. I appreciate you guys.
All right. We want to thank Emma Squires for joining us on Rhodey Baseline. It was great to have her on to get those perspectives from her. As we said, URI Women, Friday, today, if they are listening to the episode today as it releases, they have a game at 5:30 p.m. against Youngstown State, and then a game Saturday at 3 p.m. against Portland. The URI Men have a game on Wednesday that we will be talking about next week against Johnson and Wales, and then a game on Sunday against Ivy League Yale, both those games at the Ryan Center. If you're not doing anything, make sure to head down there to grab those tickets and go see that team. But yes, two games for each team. URI Women headed to the MTE, and URI Men trying to get back up into the win column.
All right, Rhodey Nation. We hope you guys all had a happy, healthy Thanksgiving and you're celebrating this weekend with your families as we get into the crux of the holiday season. So thank you all for listening. We're very thankful for all our Rhodey fans. Once again, we hope you guys had a great, happy, healthy Thanksgiving. And we're going to deviate from the plan right now. I just want to say, we don't normally talk about college football, but the biggest game of the year in college football, Gary. So I got to do at least one little shout out to my boys up north, the boys in blue, the boys in the maize in blue. Go Michigan. Beat that dumb team from Columbus, Ohio on Saturday noon. So, yeah, go Michigan. Go Rhodey. But on Saturday, I will not be wearing any Rhodey gear. I'll be decked out in my maize in blue and beating those bums from Columbus, Ohio. And as always, go Rhodey.